2 Corinthians 4. All right, let's go. Therefore, since we have this ministry, let us, as we have received mercy, let us not lose heart. Let's try it again, okay? Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves your bondservant for Christ's sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Christ may also be manifested in our body. And we who live are always delivered unto death for Christ's sake, for the life of Christ also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that grace, having spread through many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though the outward man is perishing, the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. All right, as you can see from that skeletal outline, it's not really an outline, it's just 5 points in the bulletin, number one, but life as an earthen vessel is just going to be one of hardship. So you and I, you know, we really need to get used to it. I remember quite a while ago, earlier on in my life, you know, there would be a man or a woman or a pastor or an older saint, you know, why not us? And I guess I'm not referring to the current incident, but, you know, if we get into a car accident or if we get some pathology reports from the doctor that we aren't comfortable with or we don't like, oftentimes we shake our hand and our fist at God and say, why? When really, when you think about it, the response is, well, why not? Why not us? If we're living in a broken world, and I've mentioned this to you several times before in the recent past, but it's so important. You know, we're living here now in Pennsylvania, and it's starting to get cold, and my hands are already cold already, and some of you have mentioned that, and that's fine. But living here in Philadelphia area in the wintertime, hands are going to get cold. It's just part of life living in this area. Talking to my father-in-law down there over Thanksgiving as they're taking pictures outside in their shorts and short-sleeve Hawaiian shirts out there. Well, it's hot down there. So why shouldn't they sweat down there? It's hot. Up here, why should we not have cold hands? It's cold. Taking that a step further, living in a broken world, when brokenness comes knocking on our door, why should we be surprised? Why should not it happen to us? As we read there, as we go a little bit further down into verse 7, he says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And again, earthen vessels, they had all kinds of brass, iron, gold, silver. And again, Paul is writing, says, listen, we're not any of that. We're just the inexpensive clay pots. The clay pots that were used for everyday usage. How many of you pulled out grandma's china on Thursday? Wow, that's weird. Nobody did. Okay. That's surprising. How many of you have grandma's china? Paper. Love it. Although we pulled out our Corel. I think that's it, right? Isn't it Corel? Yeah, Corel. Alrighty, so back to our clay pots. It's just everyday usage. We pulled our everyday dishes out of our cupboard Thursday and we put it on the table and we used it. Everyday usage back then could have been like trash containers as today, or even maybe even chamber pots. There's no intrinsic value, just regular clay earthen pots. 1 Peter 4:12 says, do not be surprised concerning the hardships which are to try you as though some strange thing is happening to you. And Peter, again, backs up what Paul is trying to talk here in Romans, and he's saying, listen, it's just going to be hardship, and don't be surprised when the car don't start or the water pipe breaks or, again, the tooth breaks. It's just life in a broken world. James 4, again, it's a rather familiar passage. James says, count it all joy, my brother, when you fall into the various testing, hardships, and trials, knowing that the trial of your faith, and then you know the rest of how that verse goes, is trying to refine you and purify you when you stand before God. Romans chapter 5, Paul says again, a similar message to the church at Rome, and we know that how tribulation brings patience, patience brings hope, and hope does not disappoint us. And hope doesn't disappoint us. Earthen vessels, as we see there in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 7. Earthen vessels. Here's something else that's kind of an interesting thought. Human weakness does not present a problem to God. Human weakness does not present a problem to God. And it's also kind of interesting that God has entrusted that treasure to us. For he says there in verse 7, for we have this treasure in this ordinary, no intrinsic value clay pot. What is this treasure? What is this treasure that we have within us? And really, there's a lot of very good possible answers that it could be, but I think it would basically be this. Two things. The knowledge of God and the glory of God within us, as well as the indwelling Godhead. Or simply saying, God in us. We had this treasure, the Godhead, living within us. Colossians 2:3 says, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. It's the Godhead that is living within us. Treasures were often hidden in earthen vessels that were buried in the earth. Do you remember in the New Testament the man who is plowing the field and he unearths one of these pots and there's this great treasure in it, hidden in this pot? So we have this treasure in earthen vessels. It's the Godhead within us. It's the purpose of God that we have as a result of the Godhead living within us. And to fully understand what Paul is trying to get across to us, we must embrace this philosophy of life. In Paul's philosophy of life is basically that the treasure is everything, whereas the earthen pot is nothing. It's nothing. This vessel, again, as you know, it's talking about just is a metaphor for the human body. But sometimes, you know, especially for me over Thanksgiving, you know, it was about this earthen vessel. I'm not leaving the table until I tasted everything. Doesn't matter how long it takes, I am eating it. And I'll tell you what, my diet has been very good the last few days because I've just been eating fruits and vegetables. Pumpkin pie, apple pie. Lots of apple pie, lots of pumpkin pie, lots of cranberries. I love it. But Paul would be maybe a little bit at odds with my philosophy of life right now because it's not what I want, what I need. I need you to love me. I want you to love me. I need you to respect me. You must respect me. You know, but you just don't understand. I just have to have, and then we fill in the blank. You know, I can't live without. You know, when is it my turn? You know, when do I get some time for myself? Some of you who have been cooking like for the last 4 or 5 days, you know, Thanksgiving is over and it's like, whew, but no, now we got to start putting up Christmas decorations. How many of you put up Christmas decorations so far? Yeah, many of us. So my poor wife, she just hadn't even stopped. You know, it's just like we put all of the dishes in the dishwasher Thanksgiving and push start, and now we start rearranging the house. And, you know, sometimes, you know, someone could say, well, wait a minute here. When's it my turn? When do I get to put my feet up and relax? For many, though, we have to remember that our philosophy of life is not about present stuff. It's not about personal happiness. It's, as we'll see here in these chapter, there's so much more to it from that. So, life as an earthen vessel is going to be one of hardship. But when we go through the hardship, we're not in this alone. Notice the last part of verse 7. It says that the excellence of the power of may be of God and not of self. Here's the neat thing about being a Christian and having part of that treasure within us is that we don't have to do it ourselves. We're not to lean on our own understanding. We're not supposed to do it by our own might. We're supposed to tap into it. There is a power working in you and I that is from God. And while life is hard and at times there may be a temptation to quit, notice again the first couple words of verse 1. He says there, we do not lose heart. And then in verse 16 again, he says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Sometimes in the midst of difficult situations, it's very easy for us to lose heart and to say, I'm done. I don't want to hurt anymore, or whatever the situation is. But we cannot quit because God is supplying the sufficient grace that is needed for us to continue on. And as we get again a little bit more into this, Paul was in some difficult situations, and yet he still was receiving that grace that he needed to go on. To be at the end of your or my resources does not mean then that we are at the end of God's resources. On the contrary, as we read again in 2 Corinthians 5, you know, Jesus told Paul with the thorn in the flesh, he says, my grace is sufficient. So when we run out of our resources, that's really where God wants us to be, because then he can step in and give us the power that we need. Paul wrote about this to the Colossian church in 1:29. He says, him we preach, warning and teaching every man. He says, we're going about this in such a way that he's laboring and he's striving and he's doing it according to his working, which works in me mightily. Paul again wrote in this in Colossians, he says, that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you could walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, strengthened with his might. So what we see here is that God is trying to say, I understand it's an earthen vessel. You drop it, it breaks. Bump something into it, it's going to chip. Manhandle it a little bit too much, it'll crack. But I put in this treasure within you, and it's basically myself. And the reason I've done this is that anything that happens, I get the glory, not you. that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Living life as an earthen vessel is purposeful. And as we read in verses 10 through 15, again, Paul is in difficult situations. He reads and he says there what the difficulties that he's in. And then he says in verse 10, always carrying about in my body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life in order that, or the purpose clause, with the resulting condition that the life of Christ may also be manifested in my body. You know, again, Paul is teaching us, yes, there is persecution in the Christian life. You know, Job said it this way, man is born unto sorrows as what happens when you kick the fire. Sparks fly upward. Man is born unto sorrow as the sparks fly upward. But what we have here, though, is that we need to be living purposefully. And what is that purpose? That purpose is others. That purpose is doing it for others. Let's look at verse 11 for a minute. For we who live are always delivered for Christ to death for Christ's sake, that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal flesh. That the life of Christ may be manifested in our mortal flesh. Manifested to whom? It wasn't for Paul's benefit. It was for the benefit of others. That when they saw Paul, they could see the life of Christ coming forth and being demonstrated for other people. The purpose for Paul's life was for others. Through his suffering, Paul was able to see the gospel bring life to those who were spiritually dead. Paul saw repentant sinners experience the new birth, the new creation, which really then made the suffering worth it 1,000 times over. 1,000 times over. And think about the suffering now of Jesus Christ in Philippians 2. We've got the suffering of Jesus Christ, who left all of heaven's glory, came down to earth and suffered. Well, he was hungry, he was thirsty, he was betrayed, he was abandoned, he didn't have a place to call home, he had no pillow for his head, nowhere to rest. And yet from that suffering, though, look at what came out of it. So as you and I go through suffering, we want to be able to see the gospel, we want to see the life of Christ manifested us in such a way that it's worth it 1,000 times over. And even here, as pertaining to our church, we want to continue to handle this situation in such a way that God could somehow get glory out of this. Life as earthen vessels is to receive daily renewal from the Holy Spirit. Drop down again to verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose hope. Her heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is be renewing day by day. We got a couple of present tense verbs here. We've got decaying and we have renewing. Some of us who are a little older, we can again see how that outward man is decaying day by day by day. In fact, if any of you are wondering what I want for Christmas, I'll tell you, a 20-year-old body. Wouldn't it be great to have your 20-year-old body again? Man, that would be phenomenal. I wish I had my 20-year-old body again, but that's like almost 40 years removed. That ain't going to happen. So every day we begin to experience how the outward man is decaying day by day by day. But the inward man, it's kind of like maybe like a scale. As the outward man and our physical man and the strength and vitality of our youth and the intellect, if we ever had a sharp brain, is beginning to get a little foggy as we get older. God's presence and God's renewing and God's sustaining and God's strength should be proportionately increasing. And this is something that we try to especially communicate to those who maybe have something like cancer, where this decay rate is seen more rapidly and more visibly, as they're rapidly declining day by day, I encourage them and challenge them to make sure that their inner being is growing and maturing and increasing day by day. So life is earthen vessels. We must be daily renewed by the Holy Spirit. Paul wrote this in Ephesians 3:6. He says that God would grant you, according to his riches, to be strengthened with might through the Spirit in the inner man. And this is again where we need to remember at times that we are eternal beings. You and I, we are going to live forever, which again will bring me to the last point in just a minute. So what we have to remember, though, is as the outward body decays, we want that spirit being. We want that soul or heart or spirit, or however you wanted to divide up man, to be renewed in a day-by-day way. And that God would strengthen us with his Holy Spirit in the inner man. Renewing now is not necessarily a feeling. And I'm not saying that emotions are wrong, but sometimes there's a whole strain of Christianity that is really about emotions and feelings. And again, there's nothing wrong with that, but as people have written books, emotions, can we trust them? And many times we cannot. But rather, renewing is the ability to endure hardships, where God's grace comes in and sustains us. Here, let me ask you this, and I'm not going to ask for a hand, but I know some of you, the family situations are kind of strained, and you came together for Thanksgiving anyway. This renewing of the Holy Spirit was you being able to get through the day, or the Thanksgiving meal, relatively unscathed. Now, there may have been some, sometimes people are just so skilled at taking kind of backhanded pot shots at you or your kids. And you hear it, and you just got, at that moment, I think that's where the Holy Spirit comes in, and you just let that comment just keep right on going. You don't go, "Oh, that was really, that was hurtful, that was mean." They say it, they're kind of looking for a response, and yes, you hear it, but you just kind of let it go right on by. That's what that renewal is about. That's that inner strength that you can go up there, and even though they've done some or said some or whatever, I'm glad you're here. I'm maybe not so glad about what you said in the past, but honestly, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad we can sit down at this table together. Or maybe it's, again, when you go to work tomorrow and you're going to start getting bombarded with just the stuff of the world. The renewal is that you're able to get through it again this week, just like God enabled you to get through it last week. It's a reinforcing. This renewal is either reinforcing or renewal of our thoughts. As we continue to have a right perspective that, well, for many reasons, but one of them is this world is not our home. And that we are eternal beings. And yes, in this world we will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. So then let's just go to one more, and that is life as earthen vessels is, again, focusing on eternity. And this is where it's so important. Look at verse 17, will you? And here again, well, here, let's do this. Let's back up a couple of verses just to, again, to remember what Paul is referring to as light afflictions. So let's back up to verse 8 of chapter 4. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Now, jump over to verse 17, where he says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment," our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Okay, here, let's get a little bit of participation from you guys here. What were some of the things that Paul experienced that he is calling as light affliction? And you remember some of the hardships that Paul went through? Shipwreck, stoning, beating, what else? Good, good. So Paul is saying these are light afflictions. Now, is the man insane? Does he need some medicine maybe to help him be thinking a little more clearly? Are these really light afflictions? Well, when you look at them from that perspective, no, they're not. Beaten, left for dead, whipped with the cat of nine tails, shipwrecked, in perils of, in perils of nakedness, in perils of hunger, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of sword. And upon all this, I got all the cares of my of the church. And then he says, these are but light afflictions. Well, let's read the rest of verse 17. These light afflictions, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And I believe it was last week, and I've said it other times, and I'm sure other men have said it as well. If there is no purpose in suffering, suffering then is intolerable. It's almost unbearable. But if we can factor in purpose in suffering, then that makes it more manageable. Now, it's still going to hurt, but it's not intolerable. And the purpose here, there's many purposes as we read a little bit in this chapter, but he says one of the purposes of this suffering is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Again, you see the contrast that Paul is giving us here? Light and temporal in composition of exceeding, which would be heavy, and then eternal. So as we're going through the difficulties of life as an earthen vessel, we must have the perspective of Paul. And one of them is, we see in point number 5, is we have to have eternity. Light, temporary, weighty, and eternal. And then let's just read verse 18. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Obviously, is he talking about that physically? I mean, do we just go through the rest of our lives with our eyes closed? What do you think he's referring to when he says that we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen? Pardon? Okay, the promises of God. But I think he's using this as kind of a metaphor, a figure of speech. He's saying again that we're not taking all of our focus, our whole life's passion is not on the stuff that's going to ultimately burn. It's kind of as Colossians says, if you are risen with Christ, then seek or look at the things which are above, not on the things of the earth. So it's just a whole different philosophy of life. It's a whole different bent on life. Here, let's see if I can illustrate it this way. Christmas. How many of you are in the Christmas mode already? You're thinking about cards, you're thinking about presents, you're thinking about decorations. How many are thinking about Christmas? Good number of us. We are. Grandkids are coming. Whoo, can't wait. Probably be the fastest Monday through Friday, 5 days we've ever had in our lives, but we're going to suck every minute out of it. I'm going to put that jolt or all that kind of stuff in the kids' drinks so they're up 24 hours for the 5 days they're there. I'm not letting them sleep at all. We are going to have a good time. Okay, so in his illustrative purpose, as Robin and I are going through our weeks, you know what we're thinking? Christmas, Christmas, Christmas. Gideon, I can't wait till Gideon gets in there and starts ripping up the truck. We're decorating now for the kids. Gideon, Josh, Christmas trees almost in every room, just the little ones. But we got to go buy more lights, and we got to get everything all set up outside. And yes, I'm going to stick one of those star showers outside for $50. I'm going to put it up in a tree, though. I guess if someone's willing to climb the tree, cut the bands, I guess they can steal it. I don't know. Because I hear they're very easily stolen since you just got them stuck in your ground. Well, I'm going to try sticking it up in a tree with a ladder and see what happens. But all of this is for the grandkids. Those of you who come by our house, like in the years past, Maybe there's a Christmas tree up. It's just like, it's just a lot of work for just Robin and I. But with the grandkids, life is different now. Now, take that same illustration and use it now with Paul here in verse 18. We're not looking at the stuff that is seen. We're looking for the stuff that's unseen. There's a whole different philosophy of how we're looking at life. There's a new joy in life. There's a new just anticipation in life. Illustratively, we're looking forward to Christmas. Biblically, we're looking forward to eternity. Eternity. And then he goes on to say, for the things which are seen are temporary. The things that are not seen, those things are eternal. You know, as an earthen vessel, that's kind of interesting. The metaphor here, or maybe I'm mixing metaphors a little bit, but as a vessel made out of dirt, you're not supposed to be focusing on dirt. You may have been made of dirt, but the treasure within you and the future before you, don't be looking at the dirt. As earthen vessels, our focus should be our deliverer, our redeemer, our savior, the Holy Spirit, who is that earnest, the down payment for what's to come. As earthen vessels, we're to look at the things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for us right now as we're speaking. As earthen vessels, our focus is treasure in heaven. Don't be laying up treasures here on earth, because as Jesus says, thieves will steal it. There's a good chance my star, what do they call it, star bright or star showers will be stolen. I probably won't plug them in until the kids come, so then they won't even see them. But nevertheless, thieves will steal it. Moths will eat it. And the second law of thermodynamics is still going to apply to that as well. It will decay. As earthen vessels, we need to focus. And here's something else. And with this, I'm almost done. As earthen vessels made by a potter's hand that both Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Romans refers to, we should not be working and spending all of our time on the circumstances. The focus of our attention should be the designer of the circumstances. So we shouldn't be all caught up, and I'm not trying to say that we should be just complacent and not do anything. But our focus shouldn't be totally 100% on the circumstance. Our focus need to be 100% focused on the designer of the circumstance, who does have a sovereign will that is large enough to include the free will of man. So what do we need to do to embrace the Apostle Paul's philosophy? How do we view our life? Do we view our life and even our body as something spectacular? Gold? Oh, you guys may be clay pots. I'm gold. You guys may be clay pots, but I'm bronze or silver. And I know some of the, and this, there's many advantages to getting older. The body is not one, but I remember when we were younger, man, we were invincible. Never going to happen to us. Some of the things we did with vehicles or just stupid, you know, things we do, nothing was ever going to hurt us. Nothing. We were invincible. But, you know, that's not the right mentality to have for many ways. Even as we get older, we need to realize we're an earthen clay pot. And the reason, according to verse 7, is that the excellency of the power can be of God and not us. So maybe we need to look at ourselves in order to embrace this philosophy of life. Maybe we need to view suffering and hardships the way Paul did here. It's purposeful. And the primary purpose is that God can renew me day by day, but then also others can see my Savior. Maybe we need to be, again, not so much focusing on the temporal, the present, but fix our eyes on the eternal. The eternal. So, what do you and I need to do to embrace the Apostle Paul's philosophy of life?